You're listening to Take Care, a health and wellness show from WRVO Public Media. I'm Catherine Loper.
And I'm Jason Smith. The inspiration for our next segment, where we bring you the latest in health and wellness, comes from an article in Politico. According to our next guest, connecting your medical data could be the next big payoff.
Having electronic medical records versus the old paper trail of tests, vaccinations, and office visits pays off when it comes time to go to a specialist or move to a new primary care provider. But there are still obstacles in the way of making our information available to the doctors and practitioners who need it.
I'm reminded of our past interview with Amar Gupta. He reminded us that not all health information systems are compatible, and sometimes their usefulness deteriorates across the country or even state lines.
Exactly. This time we speak to Arthur Allen about what he sees as some of those older obstacles and what's currently in the way of the best possible patient outcomes. Allen is the e-health editor for Politico Pro. He says on the face of it, having medical records available electronically is beneficial.
Potentially being on a computer means that you can share data, you can send data from one doctor to another, to an insurer, to whoever, and share it with patients too on their phones or home computers. But unfortunately, that hasn't happened as much as people had hoped. And the reason, probably the primary reason, is not the technical problems in sharing this data, but those have really started to be solved, and we're now a situation where if you're a doctor, the way you traditionally practice, you get paid for a procedure, you get paid for visiting, for a patient coming. You don't get paid for, you know, sending them on or sharing the data, and your healthcare system that you're part of might not want you to be freely sharing that information, because then the patient starts going to another doctor and another system. They lose out on the money.
Allen says there needs to be some kind of regulatory pressure to almost force medical systems to do that kind of sharing. If not, patients are stuck navigating the system on their own and ultimately costing hospitals much more. Allen tells the story of one patient in particular, Ronald Presley, who didn't have many options when it came to his care.
Basically, he just found that his only home away from home, you could say, was at the emergency room. And, you know, emergency rooms are incredibly expensive. I mean, it's thousands of dollars for any kind of visit. And then when this leads to an admission into the hospital, you know, a bed is also thousands and thousands just for being there, let alone all the tests and everything else that goes into it.
And because Medicare and Medicaid pick up so much of the bill for these, you know, high utilizers of emergency rooms, you write that these systems should come up with a new way to treat these kinds of patients. So why does it make sense for us to look at treating these patients in a different way? And what are you suggesting?
Right. Well, in theory, anyway, it should be of benefit to sort of the payers, which is in this case taxpayers, to the hospital, which takes care of these people, and to the patient, to basically sort of provide more wraparound services that are just taking care of them, keeping them out of the hospital, keeping them more healthy, and, you know, basically doing things to improve their lives overall, while at the same time avoiding these expensive treatment episodes in the hospital.
So in Ronald Presley's case, what was his backstory? How did he end up in this situation?
Here's Allen with more on Presley.
You know, he has lots of issues, but there's a lot of humanity there. I mean, you know, you appreciate everybody's got their own story. So in his case, he didn't have the means to take care of himself. A lot of it was the anxiety and also just this unstable living situation. I think he's finally gotten into an apartment, although interestingly, he called me and said that his caseworker had been laid off, and he's very worried that, like, no one's going to be able to help him now sort of navigate the systems. It's worth saying, you know, we have these very complicated systems where patients often don't know who to turn to, they don't know what's going to cost them what, and doctors don't communicate with each other in ways that's sort of surprising. So bringing this all together is clearly a really important thing for our healthcare system to do.
Presley is what they call a frequent flyer in emergency rooms. These patients, who are admitted often and usually for things that could be addressed with preventive medicine, cost the healthcare system a lot of money.
But if the patient has unstable living conditions or isn't able to keep a job, how can they get that kind of preventive care regularly? Allen mentioned a caseworker for Presley. Is there an argument to be made for changing the way care is provided?
In Allen's opinion, yes. That's what got Presley some level of stability when it came to healthcare and, in turn, his life.
social workers or care managers, or, you know, the profession of the person isn't as important as it is of just them developing a relationship with this patient. So it's interesting. It's kind of a mixture of high tech and touch and, you know, low tech that's needed to keep these people out of the hospital and then potentially to improve their lives as well and to lower the cost that we're all paying for these kinds of visits.
Alan brought it all together for us by revealing one way Presley's care providers were able to stay in communication. Turns out it's not just the availability of medical records that matters, but also how the information is presented.
The big electronic health record vendors, which are, you know, run by billionaires and have gotten vast amounts of money, it hasn't always been a big incentive for them to share data among each other. So if there are three hospitals and they all have one electronic health record vendor, chances are they can probably share data pretty well. But if you're on one vendor, let's call it Epic, and the hospital across the street is on another, let's say Cerner, those are the two biggest vendors, chances are that they don't share very well, although there are exceptions. And so, interestingly, these little companies, which have, you know, a fraction of the number of employees or, you know, the amount of money, have sort of started providing these quick hit ways of linking hospitals and doctors in communities with limited but very key pieces of information.
So by getting some of the information, maybe the information that's more useful, more important, these companies are trying to treat patients in a better way?
They are. And Alan thinks that in combination with other things going on in information technology, we could see some changes down the line.
This data sharing won't be as obvious to patients, to people who aren't really sick. I think a lot of it is focused on the patients who are the most expensive, and that can be people, you know, who are really in poor socioeconomic situation and so have come to depend on emergency rooms for their care and even to, like, get out of the rain, which is not uncommon, or to get out of a hectic situation where there's violence in their home or this kind of thing. And that is definitely underway, that process of sort of bringing more of these other social services to bear when you have a patient who obviously is plagued not only by a medical condition, but by other problems in their life.
Alan's article, Connecting Your Medical Data Could Be the Next Big Payoff, can be found in Politico Pro. Arthur Allen is e-health editor for Politico Pro. He's written for various publications, The New York Times, The Washington Post, and many more. Alan is also author of three books.